Well, good evening. I may be from Texas, but I have my Razorback red on tonight. Maybe I should have wore Razorback black, based on how they've been playing lately, but it's good to be here. I actually grew up here in Arkansas. I grew up in Searcy, Arkansas. We have some people from Searcy here tonight, I understand, over here. And great. Glad to have you guys here. My roots, if you go back to my grandparents, are in Springdale. You got any Springdale people here? Okay, great. And that's on my dad's side. And then the roots for my grandparents on my mom's side are in Rogers. Do we have anybody from Rogers or Bentonville? Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. Well, it is an honor for me to be here for this conference. I came 3 years ago. And spoke. And so if you were here maybe 3 years ago, you might remember that and had a great time. And I'm looking forward to being with you guys this weekend. And to start off, I want to do a little object lesson. And so, I think I'm just going to call up, Luke Dockery. You think Luke could be a good help to me? Luke, how long have I known you?
I was a freshman in college, and you were quite a bit older than that.
And
so it's been a long time ago, though, 17, 18 years.
No, we were just in college like 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're in college. Okay. Right. Anyway, we've known each other for a long time. Actually, Luke's dad and my dad are friends. And so,
I went to Russia with his dad,
and okay, well, sorry, we're going down memory lane here, but okay, here's what I want to do, Luke. You trust me, right?
Of course, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to do a trust fall into my arms.
Do what?
You know, just, so turn around right here, and then, you know, just keep your knees together, and I'm going to be right behind you here, and I'm going to catch you.
You just want me to fall back.
Yeah, just fall right back in my arms. I got you.
Do you work out?
I mean, like. Well, I kind of used to, you know.
Think you can hold it?
I got you. I mean, how much do you weigh? You haven't put on pounds since college. I mean, okay, I got you. Come on, you trust me, right? You trust me. Here we go.
I mean, I trust you, but I don't know.
You know, I mean, come on. You trust me.
Yeah, of course I trust you.
Okay, here we go. Let's do it. We got a lot of people watching here, so I want you to, I mean, come on. Cheer. Yeah, come on. Don't be afraid. Conquer your fear.
I don't know, Steve.
Sit down. Will somebody do a trust fall for me? You right here. Come on up. Hey, what's your name?
Caden.
Yeah. What grade are you in?
10th.
10th grade. Where are you from?
Farmington, Arkansas.
Farmington, Arkansas. You're going to show up your old youth minister, right?
Oh.
Okay, here we go. Just turn around. Keep your knees together. 1, 2, 3. Give him a round of applause. Okay, here is my question. Who really had faith in me? That guy. Why do you say that he had faith in me? He actually did it. Did Luke say that he trusted me? He said it multiple times in front of all of you. He told me to my face that he trusted me, but did he really have faith? No, he didn't. Because he didn't do it. Now, in fairness to Luke, I told him to not do the trust fall, so he really is a brave, bold man. I just asked him to not do that. This weekend is about faith. It's about understanding what faith is. And we throw that word around. Maybe we use it in different phrases. You know, keep the faith. Hold on to the faith. Do you have faith? When I was in high school, George Michael had a song called Faith. Gotta have faith, faith, faith. Anybody remember that song? Okay, that's from way back there. You know, it's a catchy tune, but what does that mean? You gotta have faith, faith, faith. Faith in what? Faith for what? Faith of what? What does that mean? What does the word really mean? And that's what this weekend's about, is trying to understand what that word really means. And sometimes when we think of faith, What we have in our heads is this idea that faith is simply believing a certain set of doctrines or a certain set of beliefs. It's agreeing to a certain set of ideals. And so we think to ourselves, okay, do I believe there is a God? Okay, check. Do I believe that He created this world? Okay, check. Do I believe that He sent Jesus to this world? Okay, check. Do I believe that Jesus came and died on the cross for sin? Okay, check. Well, then therefore I must have faith because I believe all of these sets of doctrines. I believe all these things that the church has taught me to believe, and so therefore I must have faith. And what I want to tell you tonight is I want to kind of challenge that a little bit. That is not simply faith. That faith is something more than that. It involves something more than that. It's not simply something you say. It's not simply something that you believe in your mind, but it's something bigger and deeper than that. One of my favorite illustrations to talk about faith I got from a scholar named Alistair McGrath. He said, let's just imagine for a second that you wake up in the morning and you're sick. You got strep from Satan and you wake up, oh, I'm sick. This is terrible. So you go to the doctor. And you get to the doctor, and the doctor examines you, he listens to your lungs, listens to your heart, looks at your ears, down your throat, and everything, and he says, I got bad news for you, you are definitely sick. But don't worry, I know exactly what you need to be cured from this sickness. And so he sits down in his little computer, and he types up a little prescription, he's going to send it to Walgreens down the street, and he turns back around to you, and he says, okay, here's what you need to do, you need to go to Walgreens, you need to get this prescription. You need to take it 2 times a day. If you take it 2 times a day, you will be cured of your sickness. So you hear the doctor tell you all these things, and you're listening. Now, at what point do you have faith in that doctor? Now, you might listen to what the doctor say and mentally agree with what the doctor has said and say, I think the doctor's telling me the truth. I think what he just said that I'm sick is right. I think what he said about this prescription and how it can heal me, I think he's correct there. We can mentally agree with what the doctor's saying, but that's not faith. You could actually trust in what the doctor is saying. You can trust in the doctor so much that you actually drive, or at least you have your parents drive you to Walgreens, and you give the pharmacy, the pharmacist the prescription, and she fills the prescription and gives it to you. You might actually trust the doctor, you might actually trust the doctor so much to go and get the medicine, but that's not faith. The point at which you have faith in the doctor is when you do what? You take the medicine. It's when you actually take the pill and you put it in your mouth and you ingest it. Why is that the point at which you have faith? Because at that point, you have acted upon what the doctor has said. Faith is not just simply agreeing to something in your mind. Faith is not simply trusting in what someone has told you. Faith is agreeing and trusting in what has been said so much that it moves you to action. I want you to take your Bibles and open them to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I hope you have your Bibles. If you don't, find one from a neighbor and steal it and use it. Don't do that actually, but turn to James chapter 2 and let's look at this text together. In verses 18 and 19, it says this. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. What James is saying here is you can mentally agree that there is a God. You can even agree in your mind that He created this world and that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. That's really good, but even demons believe those things. James says there's got to be something more to faith. And what that more is that faith is moving us into action. If you keep reading in James chapter 2, he gives 2 examples from the Old Testament of people who lived out that idea. First example is a man named Abraham. And so God comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. And he says, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, the one whom you love, Isaac, and I want you to take him up to Mount Moriah. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And I've often wondered what was going on through Abraham's mind as all of that was going on, as God told him that, commanded him to do that. What was happening in Abraham's mind? He knew that Isaac was the child of promise. He knew that God had told him that he was going to make him into a great nation, and it was going to happen through Isaac. He loved Isaac. He was his only son. And why is God telling him to go and offer him as a sacrifice? I'm thankful that I got to bring my son with me this weekend to the Deeper Youth Conference. And I don't even want to think about the idea of God coming to me and telling me to offer my son as a sacrifice to him. But that's what God did to Abraham. And so here's Abraham receiving this command that doesn't make a lot of sense. And what does he do? Well, the very next morning, he saddles his donkey and he goes. He demonstrates his faith out of his action of obedience. The second example that James gives us in James chapter 2 is the example of Rahab. And Rahab lived in the city of Jericho. And that was the city that God's people were wanting to conquer. And so they send in these spies to check out the city. And these spies come to Rahab's house to stay with her, to find shelter. And Rahab had heard about the people of Israel. Rahab had heard about the God of Israel. She had heard that this God had parted the Red Sea. She had heard that this God had brought them through the wilderness. And she had heard these things and she believed what she had heard. Just like you hearing what the doctor said and believing what the doctor said to you. She believed those things. And so when those spies came to her house, she acted. She took care of those spies and protected them and hid them. And then when it was clear, she helped them to go free. And James is giving us these two examples of Abraham and Rahab to show us here are two great people of faith. A great man who has great faith, a great woman who has great faith. And why do they have great faith? It's not simply because of what they believed in their head. It's not simply because of what they sang with their lips. It's not simply that they understood and even trusted in what was told to them. It was because of what they did. It's because of their action. And this weekend is about each one of you doing a little self-inventory about your own faith. And really asking yourself the question, do I have faith in the way James defines it? I know you go to church. I know you go to youth events, which are awesome like this one. But James would say faith is more than this. It's action. It's demonstrated. And are there actions in your life that demonstrate that you really do have faith? Or is faith something that you simply talk about and simply think about? Because James would say, if you truly have faith, then it's going to show up in your life by some of the actions that you do. Now, what's challenging about this is that the actions that God calls us to do out of faith are often quite risky. I mean, just look at the example of Abraham and Rahab. What God asked of them to do was quite risky and it didn't quite make sense. God coming to Abraham, asking to offer his son. God coming to Rahab to shelter those foreign spies. And sometimes that's the case for each one of us, that God commands of us in Scripture. God calls us in our life to do things that are a little bit outside of our comfort zone, that are a little bit risky. And sometimes that can be difficult. I've heard someone say that faith is where you step out following God, and if God doesn't show up, you're in trouble. Have you ever done anything like that where if God doesn't show up in what you're getting ready to do, you're going to be in trouble? That's faith. It's stepping out on a limb, going into the unknown, doing what God is calling you to do when you don't know if it's always going to work out perfectly. But you know that God has called you to do this, and so you're going to follow Him. One of my favorite examples of this is in Matthew chapter 14. And in Matthew 14, you have the story of the apostles. They're in the boat and there's a wind and the waves and there's a storm brewing. And so they're in the boat trying to navigate that storm, and off a ways they see a figure who's walking on the water. First they don't know exactly who it is, but as he gets closer One of them remarks, it's the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus. And so Peter, in his impulsive speaking way, he just blurts out, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. I've often wondered, if I was Peter, what would I do at that point? Maybe say, what'd you say, Lord? Can you repeat that? James, John, did you hear what he said? You know, there you go. Because Peter knows that what Jesus has asked him to do does not make sense. It's simply a matter of physics, right? Anybody studying physics now? That if you step out into the water, the mass of your body is going to sink in that water. Peter knows that. He's got to know that what Jesus has just asked him to do does not make sense. And if God doesn't show up in what he's getting ready to do, he's going to be in trouble. But at that moment, when Jesus said, come, what was the safest place for Peter to be? In the boat or in the arms of Jesus? In the arms of Jesus. Because when Jesus says, come, wherever Jesus is, the right thing is always to come. And so Peter gets out of that boat. And that gives us a picture of faith. That sometimes, if you're going to live for Jesus, and we're going to talk about this some tomorrow, if you're going to live for Jesus, Jesus is going to ask you to do some things where you're going to have to get out of the boat. And maybe not everybody's going to be getting out of the boat with you. Maybe it's just going to be you. But you've heard the call of Jesus, and you know what he has asked you to do. And faith says, I'm stepping out of the boat, and if I sink, I sink, but I'm following Jesus, no matter what. No matter what. My dad tells a story about faith that I want to share with you now. It's a story about a man and his dog. Anybody got a dog in the room that you really love? Well, his dog's name was Cal. What's so funny about that name? C-A-L, Cal. Not Cow, C-O-W. I'm from Arkansas. Y'all should understand my accent. But anyways, he loved his dog Cal. Cal would follow him everywhere he went. They had a really good relationship. And so one day this guy decided, I want to go and get up in an airplane and I want to skydive. And I want to take Cal with me. And so he goes to the parachute company and he says, I need a parachute for me. And can you make a parachute for my dog, Cal? I'm like, well, that's kind of strange, but let me see if I can do that. So the guy gets to work and he makes a parachute for this dog. And so he finds a pilot and he says, can you take me up? I want to do some skydiving. I want to take my dog with me. And he's like, well, that's kind of strange, but if you want me to do it, I'll do it. So again, this airplane, they go down the runway, go up in the sky, get up a certain distance, certain place, and the pilot gives them the signal that now it's time to jump out. And so this guy hooks up his parachute, hooks up Cal's parachute, door opens, guy jumps out, says, come on, Cal, earth, and Cal jumps out, parachute's open, everybody goes down to the ground safely, everything's fine. A little while later, there was someone in the media who heard about this story, and they wrote a column on this man and his dog, Cal. And he put this line in the column. He said, Cal didn't know anything about parachutes. His master said jump, and so he jumped. This weekend is about each one of you cultivating a faith that is demonstrated in action. Not simply something we say, not simply something we sing, not simply something we talk about with one another, but something that is tangible and can be seen in action. And it's a faith that says, when the master says come, we come. And when the master says jump, we jump. And when the master says go, we go. Because we have faith in him. Let's pray together. Lord, I ask your blessings on our weekend. As we're just getting started tonight, I just pray that you would work in the hearts of every single person here as we talk about faith and that it's active and it's alive and it's demonstrated in the things that we do. And give us that spirit that says that I'm going to follow you, Lord, wherever you call me to go. And Lord, I know you've got great plans for every single person in this room. We're going to talk about this weekend what some of their plans might be and some of the ways in which you might be calling them and leading them and pushing them and prodding them into your mission. And I pray that you would just work in every single person here to give them a faith that says, Lord, if you tell me to jump, I'll jump. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.